Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, we are in the first discourse and just about getting to the end of the first one. There are actually two discourses in chapter 1, so we're getting very close to the end of the first one, and we'll no doubt get into the second one on the broadcast today. But we've come to that statement, and this is something that I think most people have heard from the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun. Here's the way it's expressed in verse 9, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us." Now he'll go on from that statement, and we'll save the last verse of the first discourse until a little bit later, but he'll go on from that statement to conclude his discourse by explaining why, even though there is nothing new under the sun — that was his investigative conclusion, investigatory conclusion, after giving it a lot of thought and investigation over a period of time — nevertheless, oftentimes people think there are new things. And why is it that there are things that seem to be new when in fact they are not new? And that's the question, and we will get to that today. And so, Solomon, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, is trying to get us to think. He wants us to think about the meaning of life, our lives, the purpose and goal of our lives, the brevity of our lives, and why we'd better understand that life is short, and therefore we need to make it count while we can. And then he gets to this, what is basically a philosophical statement, that there really isn't anything new. There seems to be, but there really isn't. And we'll be coming back to that after I welcome you to this Tuesday, June 30 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank those listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the station. We are very grateful for your help, and we do seriously need it. Well, this repetitious nature of human existence, nothing is really new. And I'm going to read it again. "That which has been is what will be." Things that have been in the past are what we're going to find in the future, is what he's saying. "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done." Again, this repetitious nature of human existence. "And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us." Now, that really comes as a surprising statement. It really comes as a very contested statement to Americans in the 21st century, because we are constantly bombarded with claims of something new. In fact, that's one of the primary emphases of advertising. You need this product because it's new. Never been offered before. It's never existed before in this same way. something's new about it, something different, something has been added, the color has been changed, the flavor has been changed, the formula has been changed, the recipe has been changed, and on and on and on it goes. In the fashion world, we are constantly being told, this is something new, this is the newest thing, and people go gaga over that to see what's going to come down the runway in Paris at the latest fashion show. And some of the things, frankly, to me, look absolutely ridiculous. But think about it. In the world of fashion, if you've lived for any length of time, you have observed that things do cycle round and round and round. I have got a lot of clothes in my closet that I probably should have discarded, but I've held on to because even though they went out of style, I know that they will come back in style, in some cases already have. When skinny ties went out of style and they started getting wider, what did I do with my skinny ties? I put them away. I've still got them. And I actually could be wearing them now because they are quite fashionable. Though I must say that I really haven't dug them out, and that's the problem, isn't it? We put them away thinking we'll use them again, and oftentimes don't. But they're there, and they are back in style. Clothes that had lapels that were the wrong size, so I put them away. In a lot of cases, discarded them, but if they were still in excellent condition, good quality pieces of clothing, and nothing was wrong with them except they just looked out of place because the lapels were so big. Some of those I put away, knowing that they're going to come back around again. Right now, the lapels are narrower. In fact, I'm wearing clothes that have lapels that are wider than what is considered the cutting edge of fashion right now. And on it goes. I've got to the place in life where I've decided not to pay as much attention to fashion as I did when I was younger, and not to be as influenced by it as I was when I was younger. So the last time I bought some slacks, I bought the style that I like, with the pleats and the cuffs. They're not considered to be in style, but as far as I'm concerned, that's the style I like. It's a classic look. It's not the latest style, but I'm still wearing it. I'm still buying clothes like that, and interestingly, they're still available. You can go into a men's store and you can buy some clothes that, you know, the skinny legs and the straight cuffs, no cuffs, straight pants at the end. But you can also buy slacks and suits that have the pleats and the cuffs. They have not gone completely out of style. But these things cycle round and round. My wife sometimes will comment on ladies' clothes and say, well, looky here, what they're showing in this catalog, that looks exactly like what I wore in high school, or that looks exactly like what I wore in college, and that is a long time ago in our case. But here it comes round again. Now, I don't want to pursue this thought endlessly because we could go into so many different areas and make the same observations, but that's what Solomon is saying, that what seems to be new has been here before. We've often been told that America was a brand new experiment in self-government, that had never been done before. Well, not in the last several hundred years. I mean, it was something new, a breakaway from the European monarchies and other forms of government that were not self-government, and this idea of having people that govern themselves seemed like a brand new idea, but no. Go on back 2,000 or 3,000 years, and you'll find that the Greeks were doing that. Democracy didn't begin in the United States of America. It goes back to ancient Greece. And so, political systems, cycle round. Clothing fashions, cycle round. Philosophies, cycle round. And on it goes. And that's what Solomon is saying. He's saying, you think there are new things, but the newness is very superficial, but at its heart, it really turns out to be something that's been around for a long time. But why does it seem new? That's what he gets to in verse 11. Back to verse 9. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us, but here we go. Here's the explanation of why we don't recognize that. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. The problem is not that there aren't, what should I say? The problem is not that people are deceived about things being new, though in a sense they are, but the reason they think they're new is because they've forgotten the past. We aren't very keen students of history. There are some people, of course, who like history and study history, and people who do that are the ones who are most convinced that what Solomon says is exactly so. But most people don't like history. I've even had some members of my congregation at times tell me that I don't care much for history when I've gone into some historical elements in some of my sermons and tried to bring out the history that I thought would be helpful to an understanding of the passage. And I've actually had some people tell me, I don't care for that. I've never cared for history. And I don't let that pass by without a correction, saying you really need to pay attention to history. As somebody said, those who don't understand history will repeat the same mistakes of history. If we would learn from our past mistakes, maybe we wouldn't make so many in the present, but because we tend to think it's not important and doesn't interest us, we're not interested in what went on in the past, we're not interested about what people did in the past, we're not interested, and this is more to the point, of what people thought in the past. We're not interested in their philosophies. We're just interested in the present. How short-sighted that is, how superficial that is, but that sets us up for deceit because we don't recognize things as being old when they are presented as being new. And we are more easily deceived thereby because we don't pay attention to the past. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Solomon had made that observation, that the people of his day were not particularly interested in history. Only a few musty scholars are interested in that, but most people aren't. So, somebody can come along and say, this is new, and people will say, wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that new? And it's not. But it's your ignorance that deceives you into believing the claims that something is new, when actually it's not new at all. That's what Solomon observed, and I think he's exactly right. Well, we'll come back and continue on tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.